Easter.
Easter bunny. Easter sales.
Bunny.
Bunny. Eggs. Bunnies.
Easter eggs.
Chocolate. Well, in the UK, that's what's associated with Easter. We give each other Easter eggs, chocolate Easter eggs.
The Easter bunny? Easter eggs?
Eggs. And the Ascension.
That Easter means to me family, getting together, and enjoying the day.
Speak up now, don't be shy.
Church.
We assist the Easter bunny in delivering his baskets to the children.
Hey, Jesus Christ. What about him? This is rebirth.
Jesus. Jesus. Jesus.
Holiday, Christianity.
Jesus.
Easter means to me the death and resurrection of my Lord Jesus Christ. Christ.
Yeah, there's a lot of misconceptions about what Easter is, isn't there? Yeah, if you can bring me down, Bobby, to the blue screen, that would be good. Today I'm going to talk about what happened at the resurrection. Listen, Easter Bunny's fine, right? Isn't he fun? In fact, this morning we had Easter Bunny stuff at my house. My daughter got up and Easter Bunny came and she was excited, and the stuff I bought her that I thought she would love, she didn't care about. She loved the stuff that actually Donna picked out for her. So props to Mom. Usually it's the other way around. I am the toy king when it comes to buying toys for kids. But this Easter, Donna did that, so that's okay. I'll share that title with her. Listen, that stuff is fine. But my daughter also knows the story of Jesus rising from the dead on Easter Sunday. In fact, if you were here yesterday for our egg hunt, that's what we shared. The Easter Bunny is fun, but we will not forget about Jesus, will we? That Jesus rose from the dead. We know that on Good Friday, we celebrated the death of our Lord Jesus Christ. He died on the cross for our sins. If you don't know this, if this is the first time you heard this, this is why Jesus had to die for our sins. You're like, well, why did he die? See, there was a big separation between us and the Father. That separation is sin. Has anybody ever done anything wrong? Can I see your hands if you've ever done anything wrong at all? If your hand is down, that means you're perfect. Okay? All right, everybody, we've all done something wrong. The Bible says that sin. In fact, the definition of the word sin is missing the mark. Picture shooting a bow. And when you let go, you're not perfect on target. In fact, what God requires is us to be perfect every time. Hitting the bullseye, splitting the bullseye perfectly every time. Why does He require that? Because God is perfect. You see, God, who was perfect and without sin, has never sinned, created us in His image, and as people we fell. Adam and Eve, we know, which isn't just a story, is truth. Adam and Eve were tempted, and they both ate of the fruit, and they fell. They sinned in that garden. And we can blame Adam and Eve, but I don't know about you. I probably would have eaten the apple, right? How many times we try to do good things, and we miss the mark, and we fall short? So why did Jesus have to die? He had to live the perfect life for us. He walked in our shoes, never sinned, never did anything wrong. And yet, the Bible says that sin needs to be, there needs to be a penalty paid for sin. That penalty is death. Either we had to die forever and ever, which is the definition of hell, or somebody who didn't have his own sin had to die for us. That was Jesus, the perfect Son of God, came, walked in our shoes, so to speak, was tempted by temptations that we face, yet He did not sin. He lived the perfect life for us. He died as an innocent man to be the sacrifice for our sins. It is only because of the death and crucifixion of Jesus Christ that we can even begin to have a relationship with God anymore. If we've trusted Him, if we've asked Jesus to come into our heart and forgive us, not based upon the stuff we do well, but based upon the death of Himself on the cross as a sacrifice, if we do that, guess what? God forgives us, and now we have a right standing with God. Because when the Father looks at us, He doesn't see the wrongs that we've done. He sees the right that Jesus did. Do you get that? In the school of life, we've received an F. We've failed living the perfect life. Jesus walked this perfect life, and He received the A. And what salvation is, when we ask Jesus to forgive us, God takes His A and puts it on our F. And we get Jesus' grade. Isn't that good? Have you ever took an F and you tried to erase the one part at the top and draw another line on your report card so your parents wouldn't know? I've done that. Anybody else? Can I see your hand? Have you at least tried? Okay. Yeah. Well, you know what? Thank God that the death of Jesus Christ was a real thing. And God doesn't just get an eraser and try and smudge that F to look like an A. It is a certified true A because of Jesus Christ. Well, today we're celebrating the resurrection. What happened at the resurrection? What is the meaning of the resurrection? If you would like to, you can open up your bulletins. And on this page, there's actually some blanks that I'm going to give you today. There are five things that I'm going to point out that happened at the resurrection. Today we're talking about, like I said, the resurrection. I'm not speaking about Good Friday, which Jesus died for our sins. We know that. I just explained that. But specifically, the resurrection. The resurrection is very important. If you have been able to watch TV in the past, I don't know, few months, you could see that people have come against, what, the resurrection of Jesus. The world is fine with the death of Jesus. It's okay that He was a guy who lived and died, but they challenge the fact that He rose again. And in fact, some Christians today say, well, the resurrection's not really that important. I trust it to God. Well, listen, the resurrection is very important, as we're going to see today. It's very important. And we don't believe in just a spiritual resurrection. It's a physical resurrection. Jesus really did rise from the dead. As I read earlier in the service, He rose from the dead, and when they went and looked for His body, He was not there. Because He was really gone. He wasn't sort of gone. Jesus rose. So the question is, what happened at the resurrection? What happened at the resurrection? The first thing that happened at the resurrection is that Jesus has been vindicated. Jesus has been vindicated. That's a big word, isn't it? Vindicated. What do I mean by that? I mean that Jesus died on the cross an innocent man, didn't He? He was sentenced, He was put on trial by Pontius Pilate. He was an innocent man, though. People came and said, crucify Him, let the serial killer go. Crucify Jesus. And we know that Pilate, who wasn't a nice guy, who was actually pretty crazy, he didn't want anything to do with the crucifixion of Jesus. His wife came to him and said, hey, I had a dream. Let's not even mess with the sentencing of this guy. Just let him go. It's not going to turn out good. And yet, because he was afraid of the Jews starting an uproar, he went and had a bowl of water brought before him. And as they were shouting, crucify Him, he wiped his hands in the water and said, I wash my hands of this man. You have sentenced him to death. And we know that was just his way of getting out of that. But we also know Jesus willingly died, whether it was Pontius Pilate or whether it was some guy named Joe Smith. Jesus was coming to lay down His life for our sins. Isn't that good? But the resurrection says He was vindicated. See, Jesus was wrongfully sentenced. He should not have had to have died. He was an innocent man. What the resurrection says is God the Father looked at the sentence and He said, my Son should not be dead because He was innocent, holy, and right. And God is a God of justice. So He brought Jesus Christ back to life. Isn't that good to know? See, that's part of the character of God. God is a God of justice. He's not going to allow the bad people to get away with stuff forever. And he's also not going to allow his son to rot in a grave because he doesn't deserve death. He died for us. But the Father touching him and raising him back vindicated Jesus on the day. I wrote, the cross saw an innocent Jesus treated as a guilty man, and in the resurrection, God is reversing that decision and vindicating him to his followers. By raising Jesus from the dead, God declared Jesus innocent and said in action, just like he said in words, "This is my beloved Son. In him I am fully pleased." Isn't that good to know? Jesus was vindicated. He was proven to the world to be not guilty. The next thing, what does it mean? It means God has accepted Jesus' payment for our sins on the cross. Jesus died on the cross, and the fact that he rose again says that God has accepted his payment for our sins. Isn't that good to know? See, that's proof that we don't follow a dead religion today. That's proof. And we know that Jesus rose from the dead because he appeared to 500 people at one time in the Bible. That's not a mass delusion, 500 people at one time. His disciples who saw him rise from the dead went and met with him and ate with Jesus and touched him. And in fact, Jesus was so real to them, they willingly died and said, "I will not renounce Jesus. I will not stop preaching in his name because I know he rose from the dead. I touched him." John said in 1 John chapter 1, "I touched him. We saw him with our own eyes. He was there." Listen, the resurrection says that God accepted Jesus' payment for our sins. Since Jesus did rise from the dead, and he died for our behalf, we can be guaranteed that our sins are forgiven. Do you see that? It's a guarantee. Perhaps if you're here today and you felt in the past, "I've done too much wrong. My sins are too big that God can't forgive me." I want you to know the resurrection says he has forgiven you. Isn't that good? The fact that Jesus wasn't there says that God accepted that. Your sins are forgiven because of the power of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Somebody excited about that? Amen, right? That's true. Praise the Lord. As a side note, if you wonder what amen means, it's church talk for right on. So if you want to say right on, that's fine. That's what it is, actually. It means I agree with that. Right on. Amen. God accepted Jesus' payment for our sins. The next thing, the resurrection proves that Jesus' claims and teachings were true and trustworthy. It authenticates the fact that his claims and teachings were true and trustworthy. What did Jesus say? He said, "They're going to kill me. I'm going to be dead for 3 days and I'm going to come back to life." That kind of proves it, right? Because that's exactly what happened. He also spoke of coming in judgment, didn't he? That he's going to judge the world, right? He also spoke of that. He also claimed to be our Lord, the Son of God, right? And the way to everlasting life. He said, John 14, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." The fact that Jesus rose again puts the stamp of approval on that statement. It authenticates the fact and the words of Jesus, the fact that he is the way, the truth, and the life. No other religion in the world has that kind of a stamp. You know that? No other religion in the world has that kind of a stamp. Muhammad doesn't have a stamp saying he rose from the dead and God put a stamp on his life saying this is true, that his words are true. No one else has that stamp of approval but Jesus. And in fact, Jesus said, "Well, I am the way. No one comes to God the Father except through me." Think about that. If the resurrection says what Jesus said was true, and if we're living our lives trying to find another way to the Father and not Jesus, what does that say? It says there's something wrong here, right? You can't believe the words of Jesus, and you can't even believe he's a nice guy if you don't believe his words. C.S. Lewis, the famous author who wrote The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe, the hit movie that Disney came out with, was it last year or the year before? Excellent movie. He said this, that Jesus is either a liar, a lunatic, or he is the Lord. That you can't have it any other way. He's either just flat out lying when he says, I really came from God and I am the way. Or he's just crazy. He's a lunatic. He doesn't know what he's talking about. Or he's right and he is the Lord. And C.S. Lewis said, this foolishness of saying Jesus was a good teacher and a good man, that isn't true. Either he was right, or he was a flat-out liar who was an evil man, or he was just flat-out crazy, and we wouldn't say that that was a good man or a good teacher, right? Any crazy teachers who are good teachers? No. The resurrection authenticates what Jesus has said and what he did. Another thing, the importance of the resurrection. One last statement here. The resurrection says that Jesus can be trusted with our lives. Isn't that good to know? That Jesus can be trusted with our lives. When he said he'll protect us and he'll take care of us, the resurrection proves that that's true. Doesn't it? The resurrection says, you know what? If Jesus says he cares, and obviously God was with him, I can trust that he cares for my life. And I can trust that he cares for my family. Fourthly, the resurrection proves that the power of evil has been decisively broken. You see, this, the greatest fear that Satan can have on our lives is the fear of death, isn't it? You're going to die. Don't do this, you're going to die. Don't do that, you're going to die. In fact, people are controlled by the fear of death to the point they won't leave their houses, they won't get in their car and drive, they won't do anything. Even in life, it can be dysfunctional because of this irrational fear of death. The resurrection proves that evil has been decisively beaten, decisively broken. That the power isn't a little bit broken, it's decisive. Like, there is no doubt. I saw Rocky Balboa. Actually, a pretty good movie. Rocky, what is it, 6 or whatever? Rocky 65, 70. I don't know how old Rocky is. Has anybody seen that movie? It was actually pretty good, right? And at the end, the last... anybody... Close your ears if you don't want to hear this, okay? Okay. Ellen's holding her ears. Listen, it was a close call, and the judges had to make a decision. I won't tell you what the decision was. It was very good, though. But listen, it wasn't a close call with Jesus. Do you hear me? He defeated death decisively. It wasn't even close. It wasn't even close. The devil wasn't like, oh, so close, almost had him. It wasn't even close. Destroyed him decisively. The Bible says that the keys to death, hell, and the grave were taken by Jesus Christ. We don't have to fear death. Listen, if you die and you trust Jesus, immediately, when you're absent from the body, you're present with the Lord. Immediately. If you're a believer in Jesus Christ and you've received His forgiveness, if you walk out and you get hit by a truck as you're trying to cross a street, before your physical body hits the ground, your spirit is with Jesus and boom, hey, Jesus! Good to see you. Wow. What a great Easter. Do you hear me? Absent from the body, we're present with the Lord. The keys to death, hell, and the grave were taken. We don't rot. We don't sit in silence. We don't sit in jail waiting for someone to pay the church enough money to spring us out. We're absent from the body, present with the Lord. We don't need to fear any of that. Satan has been defeated. And listen, the power of Satan has been defeated over our lives even now. Not just when we die, but today. Can I tell you something? Alcoholics are being set free with the gospel of Jesus Christ for real. Teen Challenge, an excellent, in fact, the best alcohol and drug recovery program in America. The best. Everybody else's success rate is like 10-15%. Teen Challenge is at 90%. It's ridiculous how much better it is. And why? Because they share Jesus. And it's Jesus that touches people, that delivers them from crack cocaine, from heroin, from alcohol. Why? Because He cares and He's alive and He already broke that power on the cross. Isn't that good news? I'm not making that up. Look up Teen Challenge on the internet. Go Google it. Go to a Teen Challenge site and see what they do. An excellent ministry. Listen, the power of darkness is broken. We don't need to fear that today if we trust in the Lord. Finally, why is the resurrection important? This is good. It says our own personal resurrection from the dead was assured at the resurrection. Our own personal resurrection from the dead was assured. What do I mean by that? Jesus said that we will all rise from the dead. Now listen, I just said when we're absent from the body, we're present with the Lord. What am I talking about here? Listen, when we die, we're instantly with Christ. Our spirits are with Christ. But at the day when Jesus comes back to redo the world, when He comes back at His second coming on a cloud, our bodies will come back down, go into our graves, and we're going to have a physical body come back up and be totally resurrected like Jesus. Our spirits will be with the Lord. But at his second coming, you know, you'll go to the shopping center and you'll see Armageddon's coming, the apocalypse is coming, I don't know, Elvis is alive. You see all that stuff at the checkout counter. Listen, what they're referring to, the real fact is Jesus is going to come back. And our physical bodies will be raised from the dead again. And we will have bodies better than we have now. Anybody have wrinkles? You won't have wrinkles. Does anybody have any aches? You won't have aches and pains. Anybody tired? You won't be tired. You won't grow old. What age will you be in heaven? I don't know. Maybe we get to pick our age, and whatever age we liked, we can be that in heaven forever. I don't know. But listen, I do know this. The Bible says there will be no more crying and no more tears, no more aches, no more pains, no more dying, no more death, no more sickness, right? In heaven, forever and ever and ever, with brand new bodies like Jesus had after His resurrection. Jesus had a physical body. You could touch it. It was there. Jesus ate breakfast, praise the Lord. We know we'll eat in heaven, right? Jesus ate. I can show you the verses after He rose from the dead. In fact, He cooked breakfast. Bet you it was the best breakfast ever. John 21, Jesus cooking breakfast. Listen, we're going to have real bodies. I love playing football. Of course, I'm old now. But I love playing. For one summer, we had three games. My store I worked at against the Thriftway, the grocery store next door. And we played store against store. Were you there the one day I played? It was before we were dating. And I got hurt. Man, I got some bruised ribs. And it was fun, though. It was real tackle. It was ridiculous. It was kind of dumb, really. On the ground, no helmets or anything. Anybody ever do that? It's fun, right? Listen, heaven, we can play football and we won't get hurt. Right? We won't get tired from running. We won't be winded. Somehow you can hit somebody, if we do hit people in heaven. I don't know if we do. But if we do, if it's possible to hit somebody in heaven, you won't bruise and you won't wake up hurt. You won't have a broken arm. You know, I think heaven's going to be a glorious place. And the resurrection of Jesus Christ assures us that we will be resurrected too. Do you hear me? It assures us. It gives us that guarantee. The resurrection is important. Today, as we go and we celebrate Easter, I want you to think about what the resurrection means to you. Think about what the resurrection means to you. You see, it has implications that run deep that should change our lives. Again, Jesus has been vindicated. It proves that He was wrongfully sentenced and God reversed that decision. It proves that our sins are forgiven. It proves it. We don't need to just trust God that our sins are forgiven. The resurrection proves it. Any sin we do. Why any sin? Because the power of the resurrection is bigger than our sin. It's not based upon how bad our stuff is. It's based upon the power of Jesus Christ. It proves His claims were true and trustworthy. We can trust Him with our lives. It proves that evil has been destroyed. We don't need to worry about the power of evil. In fact, one day it will be totally, totally destroyed. Satan isn't warring against God like we can, I don't know, see pictures and perhaps New Age philosophy. It's not God against the devil. It's like God against nothing, really. You know, Satan's already been defeated, and he knows it. That's why he's fighting, because he knows his days are limited. And lastly, you can trust your own resurrection from the dead will take place. It will take place. A guy, Jay Anderson, he was a dean of the School of Law at the University in London. He said this, "Easter is not primarily a comfort. Easter is a challenge. If it is true, just as Jesus and others demonstrate, then it is the supreme fact of history. And to fail to adjust one's life to the implications means irreparable loss." If it is true, it's the supreme fact of history. And he says to fail to adjust your life to the implications of the resurrection is to suffer irreparable. I thought I was going to get that. Irreparable. Big time loss. To suffer big time loss. The resurrection has meaning for us today. Let's bow our heads. Jesus, we love you, God, today. Lord, we celebrate you on this Resurrection Sunday, God. Thank you for rising from the dead. Lord, not just dying for our sins, but Lord, you rose from the dead and you take away all doubt in our minds of your power and the fact of our own resurrection and forgiveness, God, so much. And I'm sure these five things only begin to give us a glimpse of what the resurrection means. We love you, God. We give you praise, Lord. While every head is bowed, I have to ask you this question today. If you don't know Jesus as your Savior, then today you have a decision. You see, these implications are real. And as the late dean of the law school in the University of London said, to fail to adjust to this, to these implications, mean that you will have loss in your life now and for all eternity. You won't know what it means to have your sins forgiven. If you feel like you're just overcome with perhaps even the power of evil in your life, that's been broken by Christ, but we need to surrender our lives to Him. We need to ask Jesus to forgive us and get in right relationship with God. Then these things will become a reality and not just something to pass the time during an Easter message. If you haven't done that, you need to get right with God. I call that the ABCs of salvation. A, admit you're a sinner. Say, God, I've messed up. The Lord knows you've messed up. Come to Him. God, I admit that I've fallen short from perfect, that my life isn't what it should be. B, you believe that Jesus died on the cross and rose from the dead for your sin. Can say this, God, I believe what you did. I believe you made an A in the school of life. I know that you did that. I know the resurrection proves that you did that. And C, you confess your sins and say, God, because you lived the perfect life, God, right now I confess to you. In other words, God, I'm going to be honest with you. Lord, forgive me of this, and this. That's between you and the Lord. You say, God, I repent of my sins. In other words, I'm going to change my life with your help. And I'm not going to continue that way anymore that led to death, that led to disappointment and hopelessness and fruitlessness. God, change me. And I want to take steps to change. And I commit to follow you. I'm just going to take a moment. If that's you today, just to yourself, let's just have a moment with God. Every head bowed. We're only going to take a moment here. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 We love you, Lord. We love you, God. We give you praise, Jesus. Hallelujah. For some of us today, I think this is a special time. This morning, I want to lead you in a prayer. If you're giving your life to the Lord, you can repeat after me to yourself. If you mean it with your heart, God will save you today. He will forgive you, and you will have a right relationship with Him. If you know Him as your Savior, and you need to cleanse your heart, you can pray as well. But I'm going to pray. Dear Jesus, Lord, I know that I've done wrong. I know that I've missed the mark. I know that I've failed you. And I've failed myself. And I've failed my loved ones. But Lord, I believe and I know that you live the perfect life. That you died as an innocent man in my place. Right now, Lord, I confess my sins to you. I give them to you. I ask you to forgive me by the blood of Jesus. Help me to stop what I'm doing. Help me to follow after you. I commit my life to you. Help me to know what it means to be a Christian. May the truths of this resurrection become a living, breathing part of my life. Thank you for forgiving me. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God is good. Listen, this morning, if you've received Christ as your Savior, if you can grab the communication card that you should have, everybody should have a white card in front of you. If not, there's some on the table. I'm going to ask you to check the box that says, I've received Christ as my Savior. No one's going to see that card but me. But if you can do that, that would help us to pray with you. And I also want to give you some tools that could help you in your new walk with Christ. If you've recommitted your life to Christ today, check the box again that says, I've recommitted my life to Christ. God is good. And my prayer for you is that the resurrection will just give you joy today and will change your life. Isn't Easter good? It's a celebration. Can I see some smiles? Anybody got any teeth? Let me see. See, you can't say that in all states. You know what I mean? In New Jersey, I think we're fairly safe. See, I didn't say which state, so that's okay. Hallelujah. Let's pray. God, thank you for this day. We celebrate you, Lord. Thank you for all that you've done. Be praised. Help us, Lord, to have a great day today and to give you homage, to pay tribute to you. We love you. Be praised in Jesus' name. Amen.